We must work for the Lord and labor for the Lord until He comes. Jesus said in John 9:4, He says, the night is coming when no man can work. We need to beware in the 21st century, especially in the church today, beware of do-nothing Christianity.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We want to welcome you to Love Never Fails. We continue Pastor Bill's study from 2 Timothy today with part 2 of Paul's Last Charge. In the first part of this study, we saw Paul's final desperate words to Timothy to preach the word. In the study today, we look at the reasons Paul gives for why this command is so urgent for Timothy and for all believers. Now, let's listen in.
He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't tolerate it, but according, watch this, to their own desires, meaning their own desires that is opposed to God's truth and God's will for them, okay? The word desire there, it says their own desires, what do? Because they have itching ears. Now listen carefully, their own desires. The yardstick for the professing church in the last days, which we're in, they have their own yardstick, and the yardstick is their desires. I choose what kind of teaching I want, and I choose what I want to believe, and I'm going to choose the teachers that I want. Are you following me? That's the days that we're living in, even right now. And why did they do that? Well, they have itching ears, meaning they have to have their ears tickled. And the way that their ears are tickled is with lies and not with God's truth. So what happens? Well, they find these false teachers. And what do? They tickle their ears. They satisfy that itch, if you will. You know what I mean? They water the word of God down and justify any kind of sin and so forth. They don't ever challenge their comfort level and all the rest of it. And look what they do. And they will turn their ears away. Remember, ears, that's how you hear. So they will no longer hear what? From the truth, and be turned aside to what is not true, fables. So to turn away from the truth of God's word implies that they once at least professed it. You see what I'm saying? Now, these, we know they're not believers. They're tares in the church. So itching ears, you know, they itch, and finally they're going to become deaf ears because they turn away from the truth of God's word, and they turn away to fables, which are demon-inspired and used by men. May I read to you a fable from a false teacher? He's in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram every Friday. Let me read a little bit about him. This is what he said this Friday. He's talking about the conference that they had, the Central Texas Conference, you know, with the a third of the churches left the United Methodist Church and so forth, and joined the Global Methodist, and he says this. Well, he said, at one level, these churches, well, they split. The split was over gay marriage and gay ordination. At a deeper level, it is over how we read the Bible. He says, most of those leaving the United Methodist Church, well, they believe the Bible is inerrant, you know, and they think that all Scripture is equally inspired and equally true. Are you following me? Now, he says, no one really believes that. You know, I'm going to be contain myself. He says, no one really believes that. He says, those inerrantists, so, you know, people who believe the Bible is inerrant, infallible, so forth, they work around some things in the Bible. He says, you know, when it comes to Paul, the apostle, he's misguided. That makes me mad. I love Paul. He says, when it comes to Paul's misguided and hurtful words about gay people, those who believe the Bible is inerrant will say, well, they can just work around that. Well, that is why inerrancy is so morally destructive. It allows people to choose Scripture according to their own prejudices. All of us choose the Scripture we live by. Oh, God, help me. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You see what I'm saying? He says, we just choose the scriptures we want to live by. But the question is, what is the standard by which we choose? Well, there's only one standard that makes sense. If something in the Bible agrees with the teaching of Jesus, well, it's right. If it doesn't, it's wrong. What Paul said about gay people does not reflect the truth we know through Jesus Christ. That right there, people read that every Friday. I read it every Friday because it just gets me stirred up. You know what I mean? It is, listen, that right there will send people to hell. Now, that man may be sincere, and he may believe what he's doing in his heart, but he is sincerely wrong, and he is sincerely confused. Do you understand? Listen, the Word of God is the Word of God, and you don't change God's Word. You don't add to God's Word. It is God's Word. It is not our Word. It is His Word given unto us. Amen? And we are stewards over that Word. The same person that I just read, talking about the fables that are in the 21st century church today, said, doesn't matter what faith you are. You can be Muslim. You can be this. You can be that. You can be Christian. You don't are non-Christian. You're going to heaven because what? God is love. God's not going to send anybody to hell. God is love. Well, yes, He is love, but He is also in that love is His justice too. You see, that's when you don't know God's Word. Well, do you believe this guy? You see what I'm getting at? You know what J. Vernon McGee said about stuff like that? I love J. Vernon. He's in heaven now. Let me tell you what he said. He says, if the teaching of the church is not right, it's not a church. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Good word, Jay Vernon. Yeah, listen, there are so many itching ear sermons out there today, it'll blow you away. People are not required to change. They're not required to repent. That's outdated. Everybody's really good and just a good person. No, you're not. There's no one good but God. Amen? Yeah, thank God. We are saved sinners. Thank God for that. And man, my past is erased and your past is erased. Amen. Thank God for that. You know, or God wants all of His children to be healthy. He wants them all to be wealthy. He wants, you know, no, that's not true. I tell you what God wants in His Word. He wants everyone to come to Christ who died for them and be conformed by the Holy Spirit of God into the image of His own Son. That's what Jesus and that's what God the Father wants. Amen. Boy, we need to know the Word of God. So in light of all this, what are we to do? What's Timothy to do? Look at it. But you, he says, oh, Timothy, Calvary Chapel, but you be watchful in all these things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Now that word there, evangelist, is only found three times in the New Testament, okay? Here, Acts chapter 21 verse 8 about Philip the evangelist, and Ephesians 4:11 speaking of the office of the evangelist. Now, so he says, you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. But you, Timothy, that's a contrast with what we just learned about the false teachers and the fable lovers and the itching ears and all the rest of it. So he issues unto Timothy another charge, the sixth charge, if you will, and he says, be watchful. That's a good word. Every pastor should have that one. Every Christian should have that one. It means to be calm, to be steady, to be consistent, no matter what you're facing. It literally means to keep your head in all things. And in this case, be ready, Timothy, to endure affliction. That's the next command. He says, endure afflictions. That literally accept hardships. Listen, we're going to go through it as a Christian. Do you know that? Amen? Are we immune from trials? Are we immune from tribulation? Are we immune from persecution? But what if I know the Bible, all 66 books backwards and forwards? What if I pray 3 hours a day? What if I give all my money to the poor? Am I going to escape any of those things? No. Jesus made a promise that in this world you're going to have tribulation. The Bible says, we just learned, 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in this life will suffer persecution for Christ's sake. Amen? It's okay. But to teach otherwise would be a lie. You know, you hear it said that, you know, just come to Jesus and all of your problems will be over. Is that true? No, that's when your problems really began. Listen to me. There is a cost in ministry to follow Jesus. There is a cost for a Christian to follow Jesus. Jesus said, listen, if you want to follow me, if anybody desires to follow me, here are the conditions. He says, number one, you have to deny yourself. The word deny means completely disown self. Say farewell to you. Bill, it's no longer your plan. It's no longer your calendar. It's no longer your life. I am your life now. I am your master. You have to deny yourself. I am God, the creator, who chose you before time began. Chose you in Christ before time began. He says, you have to deny yourself. Is there a little bit more? Yes. There's a command. You have to take up. You have to take up the cross daily. And then Jesus said, you do that. And now you follow me. Follow me. The word means to travel with me. Share the adventure with me. Come with me. And when you do, I will make you to become fishers of men. Amen. Amen. Listen, it costs to follow the Lord. You may be hated for following Jesus. Jesus told us that. So there's a cost involved, loved one. And then he gives them the next one, this last charge, or not the last one, but the next to the last. Do the work of an evangelist. Now listen carefully. Paul is not calling Timothy an evangelist. He is saying, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, meaning to share the good news like we do, amen? Proclaim the good news, proclaim the gospel, you know, feed the word of God, then you fish. And so are all believers in a sense evangelists? Yes, not the office, but they're, you know, you're a fisher of men. We're all called to do that. The Bible says this in Romans 10:14, Paul writes, and he says this, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, how's that going to happen? Or how shall they believe in him if they haven't heard about him? And then he goes, well, how shall they hear without a preacher, without a believer? How shall they hear? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. He says, how will they hear? He says, and how shall they preach? How will a person preach unless they're sent? Well, you've been sent. Jesus said, and I send you, amen? He says, unless they're sent, as it is written. Oh, I love this scripture. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. It doesn't say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach, turn or burn. Are you with me? And he says, who bring glad tidings of good things, meaning the good news of the gospel. How is that going to happen? Well, there you are, the ambassadors for Christ who've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? You've been given that. That's your ministry, all of us. Oh, listen, you know, I have a book at home on the Beecher family. It's about this thick. And a famous family of preachers, you know, years ago in the 1800s. And Lyman Beecher, who was a pastor in Boston there in the 1800s, his church, he was asked a question. And he says, how is it that you're able to accomplish so much in the church that you pastor? Here's what he said. He said, well, I preach on Sundays, and 400 of my church members, they go out and preach every day. You imagine 400 tents across this city? Can you imagine that? Well, you can imagine all you want, but that's not going to make it happen. But if we did that once a month, if we put all the tents that we have just once a month in this city, think of the people that would come to Christ. Think of that. But see, that means it takes your time. It means it cuts into your schedule. But that's, so what? We're talking about eternal things, amen? Yeah. So now look at Paul's ninth and his final charge to Timothy. He says, fulfill your ministry. That's an important word. Carry it out, Timothy. Fulfill your entire calling. Bring it to full completion. I don't know how it was in Timothy's days. They were all facing Nero. And just to know Paul, you could be killed because of that. But do you know today, the latest statistics in America, that 1,700 pastors leave the pulpit and their ministry every month? Every month. And do you know what the two main things are? It's not money. They're called. It's not money. It's not even getting into sin. That's not it. You know what it is? The first two things, the main things that they leave. First one is burnout. And the second one, they're discouraged. I understand. But here's the problem with both of those things. And I know. Loved one, listen to me. I have to do something and you need to do the same thing or you will be discouraged. You will burn out. And that is, we have to, no matter what, even when we don't want to be up here. Do you think that sometimes I may not want to be up here? Marshall, am I right? Thank you, sir. Pastor Marshall knows. But it doesn't mean you don't want to be. But you know what? But there are times when you say, I wish I could sit right beside Mario and just hear somebody teach with my family. What I have to do every day to keep going is I have to look unto the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. I cannot look to you. I cannot look to my family. I can only look to my God. Because if you don't keep your eyes on Him, you'll see the discouragement. You'll feel the burnout. And you will grow weary in well-doing. I know. Oh, loved one, fulfill your ministry. Why did Paul say that? Paul says, Timothy, listen, I am getting ready to go home. I'm on death row. I'm about to depart. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, listen, my race is over, but your race is not over. And one day, when that day finally comes in your life, Timothy, true son of my faith, I want you to be able to say what I say. Look at verse 7. I want you to say this, Timothy, at the end of your race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Oh, when we get to verse 6 next Sunday, do you know what today is, loved one? Do you know what happens today at sunset? Rosh Hashanah, thank you. In other words, the Feast of Trumpets begins at sundown. The Feast of Trumpets, when they blow the shofar, man, the days of awe begin. And then I think October 5th, maybe that's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, you know, the high holy day that in the Old Testament, that's when the priest would go in only once a year with the blood, remember, and pour it out in the Holy of Holies. And the sins of Israel be atoned for one more year. Then he would come out. Thank God it didn't die, you know. Feast of Trumpets. I'm waiting on a trumpet. The church is waiting on a trumpet. Loved one, listen, do you know Jesus, when you look at the feast days of Israel, Christ fulfilled them. Not all, but listen carefully. Jesus was crucified on what feast? Passover, amen? Is that feast now fulfilled? Yes, Jesus is our Passover. He's our sacrifice. Okay, he was buried that day on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Has that been fulfilled? Yes, Jesus fulfilled that. Then Jesus, on the third day, he rose from the dead on the day of first fruits, the Feast of First Fruits. Is that fulfilled? Yes. And then guess what? Jesus ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And what happened those days later, 10 days later after that happened? The Feast of Pentecost. Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved. Pentecost means the harvest. Okay, and then he was preached, and then Pentecost is fulfilled. It is the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit came upon us. Amen? Amen. Is that fulfilled? Yes. Yes. But the Feast of Trumpets, it's not fulfilled. Are you listening to me? It starts at sundown. It starts at sundown today. You know what? If you want to study out the Feast of Trumpets, read Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, and you'll see all the feasts there, actually, in that chapter. I'm waiting to hear the shofar, which is the trumpet of God. Let me give you the scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself, I love that, Jesus is coming. He will descend from heaven, and listen, with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Oh, the dead will rise first. Those cemeteries are going to be emptied of all the believers, man. Brand new, immortal, incorruptible bodies. Oh, man. Listen, and it says, and here we are. If this happens today, listen, it says, and then we who are alive, If this happens right now, here we are. We who are alive and remain. There goes the graves are all open. They're up, gone. You know what I mean? And it says, and they have their new bodies, and all of a sudden, here we are. And we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together. That word, we get rapturo in Latin, the rapture, the catching away of the church, the bride of Christ. And he says, together with them, meaning those that just got their brand new bodies. And we're going to be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, and when we see him, we shall be like him. Oh, and now this is a truth. See, this is the word of God. This is not a fairy tale. That's not a fable. He says, and thus we shall always, always, say that word, all, we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, Paul says, comfort. Don't scare one another to death. Comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming. I believe it will probably, like many other Bible teachers, well, at the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not saying I know the day. I'm not saying I know the hour. I'm not writing a book. But I can tell you, no man knows the day or the hour. But I'll tell you this. There is a generation that'll never see death for the believer. That'll never see it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed suddenly. And we will be caught up. And as we do, we will be with him forever and ever and ever. We're going to go to a place. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. No more tears. No more darkness. For the Lamb of God is the light. In that place that God has prepared for you and for me. Now that is the truth of God's word. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Oh, the comfort it brings us. We do have a home. We are citizens of heaven. You really are coming. Our sins are really forgiven. We are going to live with you forever and ever in heaven. Oh, God, thank you. We have your word, and you cannot lie. I wonder, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, they say, Jesus is not their Lord. They've never asked Christ to be their Lord. Is that you? Are you here? You've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. You know what? You can. You can do it right now. You don't even have to get out of your chair. Just all you have to do is say, Bill, is lift your hand and say, I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be saved. Just all you have to do is lift it up and put it right back down. And I will pray for you. Anyone this morning at all is here. Well, Father, I see no hands. Yes, I do see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else? Anyone? Lift. You have to lift it high. I'm old. Lift it high if that's you and put it right back down. Anyone else? Maybe you are listening live and you lifted your hand as well. Then you pray this prayer with me. Church, pray with me right now. And you that lifted your hands, pray this prayer. Say, Father, you cannot lie. Your word is truth. I believe you. Therefore, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised in your word that if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe that in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. May you reflect on this teaching from this week. Our ultimate reward is not of this world, but the crown of righteousness awarded by the righteous judge to all who have loved his appearing. God bless and have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.